Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Thomas Patterson, a professor of government and the press at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, has a new book out called Informing the News, The Need for Knowledge-Based Journalism. The book began as a look at what journalism schools need to do to train the new generation of reporters. We'll talk this morning about what exactly is knowledge-based journalism, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Thomas Patterson to the program. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
A delight to have you here. You're Bradley Professor of Government and the Press, and also teach at the Shorenstein Center on Press, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard University's JFK School of Government. What brought you to this idea of knowledge-based journalism?
Well, the Shorenstein Center, along with 11 journalism programs around the country, has been working with the Carnegie and Knight Foundations to really think hard about what journalism education for the 21st century should look like. And, you know, it quickly became apparent that one difference between journalism training and training in most other areas is that knowledge is fundamental in training in other areas. Production of news is fundamental to journalism training. And for a long time, many journalists have recognized the knowledge deficiency. Walter Lippmann wrote about it nearly a century ago. The New York Times' Tom Wicker made the point repeatedly. But one reason for it is that without kind of knowing their subject deeply, journalists get dependent on their sources. And that might have worked two or three, four decades ago, but there's so much spin and so much PR out there today that unless journalists are really in command of the subject, they have a very good chance of being manipulated. And if they're manipulated, of course, then they misinform the public.
So the elephant in the room, of course, is the journalist who's going to say to you, I am not given the time to get the knowledge that I need to fully understand the story.
Well, and I understand that, and there are extraordinary pressures on journalists. They do an amazing job under the conditions under which they operate. But we're trying to look at this long term. It's really a systemic problem with journalism, and needs to be built into the training. Journalists kind of, it's almost secondhand to them when a story possibility emerges, that they'll do some interviews. If it happened nearby, they'll go to the scene. That's second nature. The idea that you also kind of try to dig into the subject matter, what's this all about, that's not second nature. And so part of what we were doing with the Carnegie Knight Initiative was to test whether that could be done effectively in journalism schools. And we tried it in a number of different ways, and without exception, it produced better reporting. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't lessen the pressures on journalists. But to the degree, essentially, that they see themselves as knowledge specialists as well as reporting specialists, and they make the effort long term to really get on top of the subjects they're likely to cover, we'll have better journalism in the end. It's not going to be easy. There certainly are times when journalists are going to make mistakes. You can't, under the pressures of that job, do it error free. But it can be better than it is.
It seems to me, and let us use the government shutdown over the last 2 weeks as an example. It seems to me, and you certainly address this in the book, that what is often lacking is a context.
Well, that's been historically a big problem of journalism. The 1947 Hutchins Commission on Freedom of the Press identified it as the major problem of journalism. Audiences learn from events, but they also learn from the way that reporters frame those events and the context in which they embed them. We had Matt Storin, who was the editor of the Boston Globe. After he stepped down from the Globe, he came to our center. This was right after 9/11, and he wanted to go back and look at the coverage of major terrorist acts before 9/11 to see whether in some ways, reporters tried to put them in a context. And he looked at the 1993, the first World Trade Center bombing. He looked at the 1998 bombings of two U.S. embassies in Africa. He looked at the bombing of the U.S. Navy ship, the Cole, in Yemen Harbor in 2000. And what he found was that the reporting was pretty good about the bombing, the number of people killed and injured, where it took place. but said almost nothing about kind of the political, cultural, religious underpinnings that were driving these terrorist acts, whether it might be part of some larger kind of terrorist network that was working. And so we come to 9/11, and journalists are at a loss to help us understand who might have done it. And most journalists found out who did it when the American public did, and that's when George W. Bush stood in the well of the House of Representatives and said it was Al-Qaeda. But there were lots of signs out there, there were reports out there, there was information out there that about this terrorist network, but there was almost no coverage of it.
So it brings up the point of what the expiration date is of getting this information out to the American people. So when you're covering a story, again, 9/11 or even this government shutdown, to put it into context, and a lot of this takes time, and as you mentioned, there is extraordinary pressure, and you want to get it right, but you also you want to be quick on the draw as well. So is there a too late to kind of come down and say, all right, this is what happened and this is how this is affecting us?
Well, in some ways it's never too late. And yet, if you are late, there are usually some costs to pay for that. And an example of that was the death panels allegation that arose around the healthcare reform legislation during the 2009-10 congressional debate. That circulated rather quickly and was not shot down in the first instance. And at one point in that debate, about half of Americans thought that the legislation contained a death panels provision where commissions would decide whether elderly patients would be entitled to any more medical care. That was never part of the bill. And even today, there's about 20-25% of the American people think that that is part of Obamacare. So, you know, wrong information gets in our heads, and sometimes it sticks. And but I think another thing about why knowledge is important to the journalist is it opens up story possibilities. You tend to report what you know. That's why we get so much coverage out of Washington. The he said, she said game in Washington, the who's up, who's down, who's getting the better of whom. We get a lot of that coverage. Journalists know that. But then there's a lot of subjects that are important to us that don't get very much coverage. The Washington Post's Walter Pincus said recently that he didn't know of a single American journalist. I think he was exaggerating, but he was making the point, who knows education really well. And it's one reason we don't get a lot of coverage of education. He gave another example, food. You know, food supply, food consumption, these are really important issues. When do we get news about food? Well, when there's an outbreak of food poisoning. So that, you know, knowledge also expands vision. That's what we do with college students. They hopefully after 4 years, they see the world in a larger and bigger way. And journalists would do that too if they were more masters of the subjects they're covering.
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this book and how important I think it is. One of the things that I constantly struggle with and try to think of in my mind and my brain as to figure out, which I just can't, which is we have this technology, we have more sources than we've ever had before for news, we have 24-hour news operations, and yet we seem to be getting less. And I'm curious as to how we can take much of what you call for in the book and go at this in a knowledge-based approach and still make it marketable and something that the American people will consume, given we have so many choices and sources.
Well, no, I mean, that's a very important point. And certainly, in some level, we're overwhelmed with the choices that we have. To me, that's an argument why we need better journalism. So much of the information that's available to us, so many of the sources, the talk show hosts, the bloggers, they almost traffic in misinformation. So we need a secure place where we can go to get good information, where it's reliable, it's trustworthy, and it's relevant to our needs. And if it's not going to be journalists, and news organizations, who's it going to be? I can't think of an alternative. And there are some kind of promising developments in the way that the audience is moving that suggest there would be a market for this. We see it in terms of you know, what sort of really gets trafficked in the social networks. It's the deeper, better pieces that really get passed around. Now, you're going to have an audience that's going to want instant updates. You know, so there is a place for that kind of journalism. We want our news on demand. Journalists are going to have to supply it. They can do it well. That's in little bits and pieces. But increasingly, people are also looking for those other pieces that really can help them understand what's going on. And I think if we had a really good map of what had been happening in Washington over audience map of what had been happening in Washington over the last 2 weeks, I think we would have seen a pretty substantial audience that was just trying to figure out, what is this all about? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for the country? And there were pieces of journalism out there that did that and did that well, and they really circulated through the audience. So I think there's a place for it. It's a challenge. I think National Public Radio, better than anyone, than any outlet, has figured out, you know, that there is an audience for good news, serious news, that really digs into issues and does it to some degree outside the context of Washington. NPR does a lot more stories from different parts of the country and about ordinary people, and we need to know more about those things. So I think the market's there, you know, this is a difficult time. Journalism is shrinking in terms of the number of journalists who hold positions in news organizations. Revenues are declining. Things are sorting themselves out. But I think there is ultimately a pretty substantial market for reporting that we can trust.
I want to give this book to everyone I know. It is Informing the News, The Need for Knowledge Base Journalism. Thomas Patterson, I can't thank you enough for writing the book and for sharing with us this morning.
Well, it was a real pleasure, and I spent many a year at Syracuse University and had the opportunity to be interviewed a number of times by Alan Chartok, and so WAMC is very much in my history and in my mind, so thank you.
Well, it's a great pleasure. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Again, it's Informing the News, published by Vintage. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.